an opportunity to worship together. I invite your attention to God's Word, and we'll discuss some things concerning our spiritual soundness. If you're visiting, we especially welcome you, appreciate that you're with us, and hope you can come and join us at other times. And we look forward again to being together this evening at 6 o'clock as we again worship our Lord. We'll talk about being spiritually sound this morning, because when we start talking about what it means to be sound, and is soundness possible, there are some who scoff at the notion. Some who say, well, you know, how are you going to determine soundness? And they almost sound contemptuous of the idea and the concept of talking about being sound. And so we ask, well, must we write a creed in order to determine truth and error? In order to define soundness, shall we become like the denominations and codify what we're going to believe? If soundness is possible, is it only going to be possible if we follow the course of the denominations? Of course, our answer is no. That's not at all what God expects. And yet, should we again, and we say this somewhat sarcastically, shall we categorize or catalog every biblical truth and every fruit of darkness? No, because you see, the Bible does that for us. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. But if some are so critical of the concept of soundness, shall they be satisfied if we make a list of the sins and a list of the truths? Yet, we say, no, we don't need to do that, because God has revealed what is true and what is error. He's revealed the fruit of righteousness and the fruit of darkness. Ephesians 5 and verse 17 says, do not be foolish, but understand the Church of Christ creed.
No.
It says, understand what the will of the Lord is. It doesn't say, understand what Mount Baker thinks is the truth. It doesn't say, understand what Joe Price thinks is the truth. What your local preacher or what your local eldership thinks is the truth. It says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so we don't write a creed and demand adherence to a creed. We don't catalog a list of do's and don'ts. We affirm that the inspired Scriptures are thoroughly equip us unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Is it wrong to talk about being sound? No, it's not at all wrong. It's a biblical concept. It's used in the Scriptures. It's a word that means healthy. To be sound, to be well.
To be in good health.
I had my well check this past month, week.
We go to the doctor annually, and sometimes more than that, but annually for a well check. You know,
they draw the blood, they send that to the lab, they come back with all the numbers, and they tell you where you need to tweak here, what you need to do there. All that. You're in sound. We talk about being sound health. That's what the word means. And that's how we employ it when we talk about being sound
in the faith
today. Look, for instance, very quickly, Luke 5 and 31, Jesus used the word when He answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. To be well is to be sound. This word that in other places is rendered sound. If you're sound, if you're well, if you're healthy, you don't need a doctor, He says. But if you're sick, you do. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So there He uses the idea of being healthy in body and prospering in soul. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3, 1 Timothy 6 in the third verse, the apostle writes, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words or sound words, there's the word used again. Wholesome, sound words. What are the wholesome, sound words? Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. Then he's proud, knowing nothing, but's obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which comes envy and strife and reviling and evil suspicions. It is the healthy words of Jesus Christ, those authorized by Him, those that are in harmony with godliness, those that are pure, they're uncorrupted, they're wholesome. That's what we mean when we talk about being sound. The Lord expects each Christian to be sound, to be healthy, to be spiritually healthy. We may not be healthy in body, but He expects every one of us to be healthy in spirit. Healthy in our relationship with Him. Healthy when it comes to purity and strength of faith. And He expects that of congregations too. Consider Revelation chapter 3. And I was thinking a moment ago, really, I suppose I should have maybe used another one we'll look at here as well. But Sardis in Revelation chapter 3, we read about them that they had a... Jesus said, "I know your works, you have a name that you're alive, but you are dead." They were not sound. They were not healthy. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God or complete before God. Oh, I see what you mean, preacher. You mean the only people that are going to be sound are those people who never sin. That's not what we said. That's not what the Scriptures say. Soundness, wholesome, healthy, is mature and complete in Christ. Now, it's not about sinless perfection. We left that long time ago. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're talking about being healthy inside of God, however. And it's clear in reading this passage that there was a church in Sardis that did not meet that criteria. That criterion of Jesus Christ. He says, you're not healthy, you're ready to die. And you need to repent. Drop down to Laodicea. Oh, and by the way, verse 4. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. They walk with me in white. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. There were some there that, he said, yet have not defiled themselves. But the congregation, he says, you're ready to die. Now, some brethren kind of turn to this as if it's some mark of distinction that they can be a church like that. I don't want to be a church like that. I don't want to be a part of a church like that. Do you? One that's ready to die? No, we don't want to be like that. Or think about Laodicea in chapter 3, 17 and 18. You say, I'm rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing. And do not know that you church of the Laodiceans, you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. He's talking about healing themselves spiritually, becoming healthy, sound spiritually. They were lukewarm. They were not healthy. They were not sound, you see, as a congregation. God speaks to individuals about soundness, Christians, and He speaks to congregations in those terms as well. And that's what we want to attune ourselves to in our thinking, in our attitudes, in our conduct as individual Christians. Let us pose the question to ourselves, am I healthy? Am I sound? And let us pose that question as a congregation. Are we sound? And what that means when it comes to responsibilities and relationship that we have with Christ and with each other. Let's talk for a minute about some things that are expected of us as Christians. We are expected to be spiritually sound, to be sound in the faith. That's terminology from Titus 1, verses 13 and 14. We're to be... God expects us to be sound in the faith. See, when brethren begin to object to this way of talking and thinking and assessing, then we just let the Scriptures speak to the matter. It said, therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Now, his reference is that some of the Cretans are always liars and evil beasts and lazy gluttons. And Paul said, this testimony is true. So rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. When you're a lazy glutton, when you're a liar, When you're driven by beastly desires and treatment of others, he says, you're not sound. You're not healthy spiritually. We need to be sound in the faith. He expects us to be healthy, wholesome. We need to be cured through repentance. These people did. They needed to be rebuked sharply so they could change their hearts, change the way they were living. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10 talks about sound doctrine, sound teaching. So there is such a thing as sound teaching. Being sound in the faith is the gospel, and it doesn't surprise us then that Paul says that as he talks about things that are contrary to sound doctrine, he identifies that as the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Young men are taught to be sound in the faith, Titus 2 and verse 7, to show themselves as a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, purity, that is, reverence, and incorruptible. So we're to be teaching, advocating, following sound teaching, sound doctrine, the wholesome words of Christ. We referred to this earlier, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. You know what sound words are? Sound doctrine is? It's identified in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. We don't have to doubt. He says it's the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine that accords with godliness. Now, he's not talking about the red letters when he says the words of Jesus Christ, just the things he said on earth. No, he's talking about those words that he authorized. He's talking about all that the apostles of Jesus taught as well. It's the word that he approves. Jesus said that whoever receives the one that I send receives me. And he that receives me receives him who sent me. You see, to receive the apostles' doctrine, their teaching, the faith they preached, is to receive the wholesome words of Jesus Christ. And if we reject their words, we are rejecting Jesus. Amen. Soundness in the faith is another way of describing being healthy in the words, in the doctrine, in the teachings of Jesus Christ. It means that we're following the pattern of sound words. That's used in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. There are healthy words, sound words, and then there are unhealthy words. Wonder what the difference is. Well, based on what we've already seen, we know what the healthy words are. They're the words that accord with the will of Jesus Christ. They're the words of His apostles. They're the words of the New Testament. The unhealthy words, the unsound words, are those that do not conform to that pattern. He said, hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The words we hear from the apostles, those are the sound words. Not the words that come from our will, our own will, our own emotion, our own feeling, from some esteemed brother when it is in violation, contradiction to the Scripture. It's not healthy. It's not sound. It's not the words that we're to be holding to. So, why then would we ever scoff at the idea of soundness? Because you see, the Bible uses it to talk about being sound in the faith. We're taught to be sound in our own personal faith. You see, sound in the faith are the healthy words of Jesus Christ, His New Testament. Look at Titus 2 and verse 2 now. It says that the older men are to be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. So the older men are exhorted to be healthy in faith. That is, in their own personal faith. We do that through our spiritual growth and our spiritual maturity. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance brotherly kindness, and so forth. I know I left one or two out there. Keep adding, keep growing, keep maturing in your personal faith to be sound in faith. We're supposed to be sound in speech. Titus 2 and verse 8. Our words that we choose to use are to be healthy. They're not to be profane. They're not to be idle. They're not to be backbiting, tail-bearing, gossiping, strifeful and factious. They're to be healthy and wholesome, seasoned with salt, Colossians 4, 6. Pure and undefiled. Bridling our tongue, James 1, 26. In other verses, it teaches us, you see, the words we speak are to be healthy because also remembering that that reflects the health of our heart. Heart health. They check your cholesterol, don't you? The LDL, the HDL. They check all those things when you go to the doctor and get the blood tests. Well, we need to check the health of our heart. Because you see, the words we choose to speak, that says something about, that's a way of gauging our heart and its health. By our words will be justified, Jesus said, and by our words will be condemned. So, words that are profane, words that are idle, words that are hurtful, words that are mean, words that are, that cause strife, and you see, the list is long. But it's a list we find in the Word of God. It's a list that we can then go and use to compare ourselves and to see, am I healthy or not? In the speech that comes out of my heart and through my lips. We're to be sound in our moral conduct too. In 1 Timothy 1, back in that verse, verses 9 through 11, Paul said, the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers, for fathers and murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. When he talks about sound doctrine, that sound doctrine would harmonize with sound morality. He goes through a long list of things that are against God's law. The law identifies and demonstrates the immorality, the transgression of such immoral conduct. We're to be sound in our moral, in our morality. Chapter 6 and verse 3, again, we go back to that verse. If we don't consent to the wholesome words of Jesus Christ and the doctrine that accords to godliness, a life of piety, a life of morality. Ephesians 5, 3 through 7 describes the life that is against soundness, that is unhealthy. It's not wholesome. Fornication. You see, by the way, as we look at this verse, among others, we come back to that original chart. When people scoff at the idea that we can be sound and they say, well, you just want to write a creed, we say, no, God's already written it. Here it is. He said, do we have to make a list? No, God's provided us the list. He says fornication and uncleanness of all types and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting saints. Now, as is fitting for saints, when you're fit spiritually, he says these things are not even named among you. They're not a part of you. They're not in your heart. They're not in your life. When they are, you're not fit. It's not proper. You're not healthy. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who's an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and God. There's no inheritance. There's no benefit to you to live in such immoralities. Only judgment. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Let us mark it down. When people decry the concept of soundness, when they don't want to talk about soundness, then there's a good indicator there that they're willing to accommodate those things that are not sound. Things that lead to spiritual destruction. Now, when we find an ailment in our body, then we begin to get aggressive to remove that ailment, to treat that ailment, to heal that ailment. What about when we find sin in our lives, in our hearts, in our attitudes, in our words, in our deeds? So we can be sound. Sound in our own personal faith, sound in our words, sound in our conduct, sound in the faith. It's expected of us by God Himself. But let's talk a minute about diagnosing the illness. It should be clear that now that we diagnose this spiritual illness of not being sound, of being sick spiritually, by recognizing and accepting and using God's standard to define soundness, inspired scriptures. Over the past year, a year ago, my doctor told me you need to lower your cholesterol a little bit. So I've been, doing some things to try to help lower the cholesterol. So he read the numbers this past week and he said, well, I got, your numbers came down. Unfortunately, they moved the goalposts. And now what used to be high is, or low is high now. I mean, they shift the numbers. They shift the standards. So I went down, but I still up. That's frustrating. They moved the goalposts. Well, we don't have to worry about God moving the goalpost. He hasn't moved the numbers, if you will. The standards. It's the inspired Scripture from the apostles that still is there that equip us for every good work. That's the standard that helps us assess, are we sound? Are we healthy? Or not? We've got to study to know it. We've got to learn it. We've got to give diligence to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to handle it properly, or we don't know what the standard is, and we'll misdiagnose. Won't read the symptoms properly because we're not handling the standard correctly. We've got to search the Scriptures to see if what we hear, what we're taught, is true. John 5, verse 39, Jesus said, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these Scriptures, these are they that bear witness of me. But see, they didn't handle the Word of God correctly. And so the very Scriptures that identify Jesus as the Christ, they didn't benefit from it. Because they were rejecting the very one that the Scriptures spoke of. They weren't handling the Scriptures properly. And so they did not identify the Christ and they rejected Him. We're going to be like the Bereans who, when they hear a message, they take the Scriptures in their hands and they search to see, is this so? Is what I'm being told what the Scripture says? Because I want to be sound. You see, I want to be healthy in God's sight. We can do that. And we can understand truth. When God has revealed His mind, He has not done it in an ambiguous way. In a different shades of gray idea. When God speaks truth, He says, Jesus says, we can know it. And we can abide in it. If you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. We can understand what the will of the Lord is. You see, because it's God's will, that are the sound words that accord with godliness, that keep us in fellowship with God, that enable us to be healthy in our life of service to Him. It's not like one young Christian recently said when he was asked if he was going to a sound church. And his answer was, sound according to who? The Mount Baker Church? Probably not. But it is sound according to God. Well now, bless your heart. I don't know anyone here who's ever said the Mount Baker Church is a standard of soundness. And quite frankly, I rather resent that kind of an attitude to being suggested. I don't know. Do our elders say, the Mount Baker Church, that's the standard of soundness. You measure yourself against us. No, they don't say that. You hear people from this pulpit say, the Mount Baker Church, that's the standard of soundness. They don't say that. Mount Baker Church is not the standard of soundness. The Word of Jesus Christ is the standard of soundness. Now, are you going to a sound church is not predicated upon whether it's according to what Mount Baker says is sound, but whether it's sound before the Word of God. So let's just use a test case. And by the way, when someone talks that way, then what criteria is being used? Sound according to God. Okay, well let's find out, because that must mean we're not sound in that way of thinking. If I'm going to a church that Mount Baker would say, well, it's not according to them, but it's according to God, then that must mean we're not sound. And I don't want to be unhealthy. But it's not going to be based on comparing myself with another church or another person. It's going to be about comparing ourselves to God, to His Word. Not comparing ourselves with ourselves. 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. That's the wrong criteria. Rather, do we accord to the words that are in harmony with godliness, with the words of Jesus Christ? Well, think about the church at Thessalonica for a moment. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 5 through 10, Paul commends this church. And he does because of the way they received the gospel, verse 5. He said, our gospel didn't come to you in word only, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. He said, here's how we brought the gospel, and here's how you received it. Verse 6, you became followers of us and of the Lord, and received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. You received the apostolic word. And he goes on to say, you became an example to all the brethren in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith has gone out from that place. And they declare, they see your example of godliness. How you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They accepted the standard of sound words, the words of Jesus Christ. And they implemented it. They lived it. And it became an example to others of it. Now, they showed themselves to be healthy. Were there some problems? Sure, there were some problems. And the Word of God addressed those problems. And they were to address those with the Word of God. See, the idea of soundness, sound church, doesn't mean there's never any problem in a church. I think that's something we need to realize. Being sound doesn't mean there's never going to be an issue to be addressed in a church. Question is, how are you going to address it when it comes up? How are we going to heal when an illness arises? What salve are we going to place upon that spiritual illness
so that health can be restored?
So that health can thrive. Spiritual soundness can be the order of the day. You see, it's a red herring to think about soundness in terms of, well, you've got problems. Every church has problems. How can you talk about, you know, that's beside the point. How are those problems addressed? How are they dealt with? How are they handled? Do we go to, thus said the Lord, to solve it and to help people get closer to the Lord and close to His will? Problems, you know.
And that's it.
You know? Thessalonica sets a case, an example for us. And really, on and on the Scriptures do. So, we're talking about diagnosing spiritual illness and soundness,
as opposed to soundness.
We need to know that sin is what causes the illness, right?
The wages of sin is death. All unrighteousness
is sin. So we're talking about sin here. Not talking about differences of opinion over irrelevant or indifferent matters. We're talking about
the revelation of the Word of Jesus Christ and the violation of that Word, which is sin. Okay?
The Bible says when we are teaching doctrinal error, that is spiritual disease, that is sin. Galatians 1:6-9. I marvel at you so quickly removed from Him who called you the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not another gospel. He says, which is not another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Teaching that perverts the gospel of Christ, that's sin. That's not sound. That's not healthy. See, 1 Timothy 4,
those who depart from the faith, they depart from truth, go beyond the doctrine of Christ, and do not have God. And they bring it and try to offer it to you. And John said, don't receive it. Don't receive them into your house and give them no greeting. For if you do, you partake in their evil deeds. It's not sound to teach error. That's sin. Now, can we assess whether or not an individual or a congregation is teaching error?
Is that possible?
Amen. Yes, it is. With the standard of the Scriptures before us. It's entirely possible. We can understand what the will of the Lord is.
When a church refuses to teach truth,
is it sound or is it unhealthy? Is it sound in the faith or is there a spiritual disease eating away at that congregation? It's pretty clear. That's sin. Not what God wants. But it happens. You see, following doctrinal error is spiritual disease. Teaching the error is sin. Following the error is sin. In that text where Paul said to study or give diligence to show yourself approved and handle God's Word properly, he said that to shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase in more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Here are some who begin to follow Hymenaeus and Philetus in their error, so that not only Hymenaeus and Philetus are in sin, they're diseased, they're not sound, but those who are following them are not sound. They're unhealthy as well. The disease is spread. See, the Bible says when we fail to teach and obey the truth, that's sin. That's sin. Paul, Peter wrote, if these things are yours and abound, then make you to be not idle nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten he was cleansed from his old sin. We stop growing in the faith, we stop teaching and following the Word of God, we become short-sighted. We become spiritually blind, unhealthy, unsound. To him, therefore, that knows to do good and does not do it, to him is sin. Yes, unsoundness can be identified by teaching error, by following error, by not teaching and obeying the truth in our lives. We're not sound if that's happening. And we need to be healed. Yes, it's possible to be sound. We are commanded to be sound. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Be strong. Not weak. Not ready to die.
Not unhealthy.
Be sound. Philippians 3:16-17 gives us examples of soundness that we're to follow. It says that there are those who, he says, brethren, join in following my example and know those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. There's a pattern set. There's examples. The church at Thessalonica was a pattern, was an example of soundness for the brethren in Macedonia and Achaia. We can be sound and we can be examples of soundness. The very purpose of gospel preaching is our soundness. Look at Colossians 1 and verse 28. Paul said, Him we preach, Christ we preach. We preach Christ. warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whole, complete, well, sound, mature. We preach the gospel to present souls whole in Jesus Christ.
We can't do that unless we preach the truth. Because if we don't preach the truth, we can't present somebody as sound in the faith. See that?
The reward of soundness, of course, is heaven. Is eternal life. That's why exercising ourselves toward godliness has promise of this life and of that which is to come. See, when we exercise ourselves toward godliness, we are preparing ourselves and keeping ourselves healthy, sound, for heaven, which is in store. Oh yes, we can be sound. And that is our determination. Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing in His sight. To be well-pleasing in the sight of Jesus Christ. Now to do that, we can't compare ourselves to others. We have to compare ourselves to the apostles of Jesus. 1 John 4, verse 1. Someone really wants to be sound in the faith, then it's not going to be about, well, I might not be sound what you think is sound. That's not the way we think. We get the Scriptures out and we find out, am I sound according to the words of Jesus Christ, to the words of His apostles? Test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He says, we are of God, verse 6 says. He who hears us is of God. He that does not hear us is not of God. We compare ourselves to the apostles' word because that's the word of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. And so, Revelation 2, 2 through 3, Jesus is speaking to the church at Ephesus. Remember here, it speaks of this whole concept. He said, I know your works, and I know you're faithful in many things. But He also said, I have this against you, you left your first love. So remember from where you've fallen, repent and do the first works. We need to have the determination to follow the apostles' doctrine, the Scriptures of Jesus Christ, for our spiritual health. And when that doctrine, when this Word reveals that I'm not sound, that I'm not healthy, that my teaching, my practice is against the Scriptures of God, then I repent, that I change my heart and turn back to obeying God to be healthy, to be sound. Soundness is possible. It's what God wants of us. Let's close with this, because I fear that the brethren, I think it's assessment that you can see over time and as you see in practice, brethren who quibble that we're not equipped to measure doctrinal soundness are often the same ones who justify tolerance and acceptance of doctrinal differences and moral uncertainties. Those who say, well, this talk about soundness, everybody's got sin. There's error in every church. And we talk about, oh, there's deficiencies in all the churches. And the implication is, therefore, there's no one out there that's sound. The Scriptures deny that. We've seen the Scriptures today that show that denial. The question is, when we find the deficiency, will we correct it by the Word of God? Those who want to quibble about soundness are often the very ones who are willing to tolerate what's not sound. And that's not going to get us to heaven, brethren. That's not going to keep us in fellowship with Jesus. And we may be in agreement with a lot of people who think the same way we think, but if we're not thinking and teaching the way Jesus thinks and teaches, then that's of no spiritual benefit. We're still unhealthy. We're still not sound. You see, so 2 Timothy 4, as we close, 2 Timothy 4 in verse 3, what did it say? It said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap themselves teachers after their own lusts, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and turn aside to fables. There's your definition of sound doctrine. It's truth. Verse 4, sound doctrine, verse 3, is truth, verse 4. It's the Word that we preach, verse 2. Preach the word, sound doctrine, truth. Oh yes, we can be sound. God expects us to be sound. His word reveals that soundness and calls to us to harmonize ourselves with it. And that begins by becoming a Christian. Because you see, if I'm living in sin, I'm not sound. I'm spiritually dead. I have no life. I'm outside of Christ. I'm lost. And I need spiritual health. I need to be saved. And if you believe Jesus is the Son of God and are willing to confess that faith, then repent of your sins today. Change your heart. Be baptized for the remission of those sins, and Jesus will give you life. You'll be raised to walk in new life, to be healthy, to grow and mature in service to Him and following His Word. Brother or sister in Christ, if sin has come into your heart and your life and brought you down from spiritual health to being unsound, being in sin, then repent of that. Confess it to Him in prayer. You need to be healthy again. And by repentance and confession of that sin to the Lord, He will forgive and He will renew you. Won't you come, if that's your need, while we stand and we sing?
Jesus, the Lord and Shepherd, calleth me now.